The chilly weather is settling in here in Wisconsin. It's a perfect time to warm up with our tried and true soup recipes. Whether you're in the mood for a classic chicken noodle, a creamy seafood chowder, maybe a hearty mulligatawny, when it comes to soup, there's something for every occasion and pretty much everybody. Our next guest loves soup so much, he founded a soup company here in Wisconsin. He's with us on Food Friday to share the secret to making a great pot of good soup. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What is your go-to soup maybe this time of year? Is there a family recipe you swear by? Do you have a secret ingredient or technique to make your soup extra tasty? Or are you like I once was and you make boring, bland soups and you need some advice to make it better? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Stephen Wenhart is the founder and CEO of Wisconsin Soup Company. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ralph.
I understand some people actually call you Soup. Can you talk about your love, maybe your level of fanaticism towards soup?
Sure, sure. You know, some of my friends, I'm not even sure if they know my real name. They just call me Soup. So, you know, that started a long time ago. I've had this company for about 13 years, so... people just kind of forget your real name, call you Soup. It started actually from a small little town up in Door County. Fish Creek is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And fell in love with soup up there. They made everything from scratch. It was really, really, you know, cool to see people light up with it. So I kind of just fell in love with it myself. And, it's kind of artistic. It's got a lot of different flavors and profiles and, you know, and It never changes. You know, you can change it up. You can make it fun, make it interesting. And, it just sent me down a path, right? And, I was really happy to make a career out of it.
Now, the challenge, it seems like, to me, to making the same kind of soup again and again. I wing it. It's based on what's in my fridge, what's going bad or whatever. I never make the same pot of soup twice, pretty much. How hard is it to standardize, to settle in on, like, this is the way I'm making my chicken noodle? That's so you know what you're getting when you get my chicken noodle.
Yeah, no, that's great. That reminds me of my mother. You know, she would just take the celery that's going bad and make something out of it. That process can be kind of daunting to make something standardized and say this is what we're going to be having now for holidays, Thanksgiving or whatever special treat you want to have when you make soup. So, you know, some of the techniques I use are using fresh ingredients and definitely weighing out all the ingredients. So, like, I've got a scale and I have a book. This is the secret right here. You've got a book and you write down your weights and you are patient and you take your time. And you just kind of keep working on that recipe until it gets to be just where you want it to be.
I got
to
know, do you make a lot of soup at work?
We do.
Do you ever just make soup for yourself at home? And
all
when you
the
do
time.
That, do you just wing it?
All the time. And yes, there's a lot of creativity that goes into that. So it's kind of what you know, it's an art too, right? Food's an art, culinary arts, right? So you get inspired, right? And it might be a dish you had at a restaurant, or you might have saw something, you know, on TV or streaming. And you get excited. You're like, oh, I could see this turning into a soup, right? So we're working on some recipes right now that are really exciting, like a buffalo chicken bisque, you know, which is just, it's so fun to work on it. And, you know, also kind of intimidating too, because you're kind of creating it from nothing, right? So you just kind of have to go down a road and you just keep working on it. So.
Now, I mentioned I once made really boring soup, you know, and I'd like serve it up to my wife or whoever, and a lot of time spent putting extra salt in it and stuff like that. And the thing that really I was doing wrong, and this isn't rocket science, I didn't really do a broth or a stock or whatever. Can you talk about how important that is as a starting point to have good flavored liquid?
Well, I think that's the most important thing, and I say that because there you can your whole palate's gonna change as soon as you have a really great broth. Does it take time? Yeah, it does. And it takes, slow and low. What we do at Wisconsin Soup Company is literally like our motto is literally, slow pace, slow simmered soups for fast paced lives. Right. So like we're doing it low and slow and we're creating all that really great flavor. Right. Even in vegetable soups, you can still get a great, great solid flavor if you mix the right combination so your palate goes wild, right?
Yeah. Now, I cheat usually when I make soup and use a bouillon paste. There's stocks and things like that. I have made stocks, some better, some worse. What is the key for making that low and slow? What are the key elements of making our own good stock?
If we're talking like a vegetarian dish, right, like a vegetarian soup, I think it's really important to, you know, to explore, or at least try the Trinity, right? You know, you're going to have your onion, your garlic, your carrot, right? And celery, right? You're going to have all these different flavors. I think that's really important to start there. It's a good starting spot. But then don't be afraid. Like, if you have leftover leeks or parsley, or, you know, get some rosemary from the garden, right? Like, start throwing some of those in there and see, like, how that, you know, changes the complexity of the broth, right? I've gone down this road, and I have not even completed it yet. I mean, it's kind of never ending, but it's something where you can take a little bit of something that's part of your day and throw it in there and see how it turns out. And it's really kind of remarkable what will happen on your palate.
And for non-vegetarian, when I have, you know, rotisserie chicken or a cooked whole chicken, I will throw that, the carcass in and spices and things like that. And yeah, like you say, low and slow, like how low should we go on this?
Yeah. Just about to a little bit of a simmer, a couple bubbles. But now it's the time piece, right? You know, crock pots work great because if you have the time and you have 24 hours to spare, it's wonderful to just let that go low and slow. It'll take all the nutrients from the bones and it'll pull it out. A couple little tips there, you know, apple cider vinegar, throw that in there. I prefer distilled water because, again, it will extract everything out of the bones. And it's another one of those little tips that you'll really make it really nutritious for you as well.
I've seen controversy. Do bay leaves actually add flavor to soup? I use them. It may just be an act of faith. I don't know.
As far as flavor is concerned, I'm not 100% on that one. I'm kind of with you on that. I will say, though, the aroma of a bay leaf is incredible. And I think that's where the magic really is in a bay leaf. And that's why I choose to use it in making soup. So
it's Food Friday. We're talking to Steve Wenhart, founder and CEO of Wisconsin Soup Company. Surprise, we're talking about soup, ways to make non-boring soups of all varieties. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for Steve if you need some advice, or your secrets if you're willing to share them. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you could post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mary joins us now in Eau Claire. Mary, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Mary?
Well, my secret, like, I love to make soup, but sometimes it just needs a little something, and I don't know what it is. So I will put a few very generous scoops of miso paste, and I use the white or pale paste, and it'll just give it a little more depth and flavor.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call. I've used this. I've had it miso soups at Japanese restaurants. Yep. It's fermented paste.
Right.
My curse is I'll buy some, use it a couple times. It migrates to the back of the fridge. I forget about it. Miso, using in soup. Some thoughts?
Yeah, you know, and I think what you're kind of rounding out there is the umami flavor that you're trying to achieve. And you're right. Thanks, Mary, for that call. And it does broaden out a soup. It does make it more rich and a little bit more like you want to have a little bit more of it. Another good couple of techniques there is soy sauce you could also try. And mushrooms are wonderful for that. You get that umami flavor. And, of course, we know that also has that with meat as well.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call. Now, Mary used a magical phrase there in all cooking, I think, but especially soup for me. This needs something.
Mm-hmm.
How do we evaluate a soup where it needs something and figure out what that something is?
You know what you do is you get some really solid taste testers around you. And I'm never lacking for those in my life. Everyone kind of wants to be a taste tester. It's important to have feedback because everyone's palate's just slightly different. And I think you sort of kind of get to the answer you're looking for eventually. But, you know, you just got to go down that road, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to say, oh, I could use a little of this, a little of that. My mom was great at just throwing stuff together, but her problem was she never wrote anything down, so we could never have it the same way again. So,
my thing it always needs is, well, salt sometimes, and number two, acid, vinegar, lemon, something like that. Could you talk about acid as an element, especially late in the game on a soup?
Yeah. We typically, so we do like a lemon or chicken orzo.
Yeah.
And that lemon flavor, when it comes through on a chicken stock that's been, you know, simmering for, you know, 12 to 24 hours, is just amazing, right? It just really comes out. It's really loud. You know, that's definitely a great thing, especially kind of offsets the salt. You don't need as much, right? Mm-hmm. So it brings it out, brings flavor out as well. So yeah, it doesn't need much either. You can be kind of subtle with it, right? You just put a little bit in at the end there and it'll open things up for you. For
sure. Let's go back to our callers. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Good afternoon. There's a couple things my wife and I do when we make soup. One of the things is we can our own tomatoes, which adds a lot of clean, fresh flavor. We also make our own vegetable stock. And one of our secret go-to spices is pesto. We will, right at the end, prior to serving the soup, we will whisk in a couple tablespoons of pesto right into the soup, and it really adds a lot of boost in flavor.
Awesome, Mark. That is another something it needs at the end for me a lot of time is something green is in my head. And I think pesto or basil by itself could fit that category.
Absolutely. You know, we make a gorgonzola crab bisque. With that, we put basil in there as well. And, you know, we love that flavor. It's so good. You know, it's a very comforting aroma.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. Something I wonder about making home soups is herbs, dry versus fresh, and when to put them in. I know one thing I used to do wrong was, like, I got these fresh herbs. One, I put in a little tiny sprinkle right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, you might see the color by the end, but you're not tasting any of the flavor. Can you talk about how to use dry herbs, you know, the basils and oreganos versus fresh herbs?
Yeah. It depends on where you want that flavor to be pronounced in the soup. If you want it to be part of, like, the broth part of it, you definitely want to add those as soon as you can. Typically, like in a chili, when we're making that, we add that actually, you know, right when the meat is cooking up, right? And it starts to, like, cook with the meat, and then that flavor stays throughout the entire product, and it's wonderful that way. Now, if you want that just to be a little bit more pronounced, like on a sip, right? You know, fresh parsley or herbs right at the end would really open that up, and you can taste that right away. So it's, you know, that's where a nice garnish comes in, right? Fresh versus dried. There's definitely a difference. But I would use both. You know, we use both. Mm-hmm. It just really kind of depends on if you want it to be really loud or if subtle is what you're kind of going for, right? So, you know, you got to pick and choose what your interests are on that soup that you're creating there.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Steve Wenhart, founder and CEO of Wisconsin Soup Company. He's with us on Food Friday to share advice on making great soup at home. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you soup? Do you follow a recipe or follow your heart or just see what's in the fridge? What do you think makes for a great soup? Do you have questions about how to make a soup better? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk about soup with Stephen Wenhart from Wisconsin Soup Company. You can join in with your questions or your own advice at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Maquonago. Tom, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. It's amazing that you guys put on the show at this time. I'm cooking soup right now, and what I'm cooking is a potato leek soup from Julia Child's second volume of the Master of, Mastering French Cooking. And what's great about the soup is you can add a bunch of things to it to change the flavors one way or the other. And I love it just the way it is, to tell you the truth. And I was wondering if your guest would have a suggestion off of this.
Tom, thanks for the call. Any thoughts on potato leek soup?
Whenever I take a traditional recipe that I hear about and I kind of go down this road, I'm like, well, okay, it's great. I'm happy that it's out there and people love it. How can we change it? Like, how can we make it a little bit more interesting? So, you know, my thing would be roasting the leeks, right? Or something along these lines, or adding that to the base of it or puree it in there, add some more flavor, more depth to it. So it's kind of like taking the traditional, but then adding something else to it. So that, and, you know, I'm not sure. Sometimes some recipes call for, you know, the certain type of potato. Maybe it might be just russet or something like this. But, you know, I really love using our Wisconsin Gold potato here. It's buttery. It's really, blends really well. It really makes a really nice soup.
Thanks a lot for that call, Tom. And mentioning blending, you know, sometimes I go into a soup knowing it's going to be a broth with stuff in it, or I'm going to blend it. Sometimes it's a last minute call if I'm going to partially blend it. What makes that decision for you, whether it's going to be blended a little, or straight up?
There's no right or wrong when it comes to soup, right? I mean, you sort of kind of just start and see how it turns out. And the next time you're like, well, you know, I could use a little bit more of this. So, with a lot of our recipes, we really try to thicken our soups with raw ingredients. So that and being known, like for instance, like our farmland split pea that we make, it's actually orange. A lot of people's split peas are green and everyone always wonders why ours is orange. And we actually thicken it with a carrot, and carrot brings out that orange color. Mm-hmm. It also brings it a touch of sweetness as well, which I was looking for. So it offsets that chicken stock flavor.
Interesting.
So yeah. And people come back to it and they're so surprised. People that don't even like split pea soup are just like, I love that split pea soup, because it still has the flavor of split peas. But again, it's been thickened with natural raw ingredients. I love that.
Let's go back to our callers now. Glenn is with us in Waupun. Glenn, hi.
Hi. I'm a big rotisserie chicken guy, but what I do is, rather than boil noodles, I go and take, I'll go to Quick Trip and I'll get a mac and cheese. I put the mac and cheese in there. I like Ben's rice in the packages, heat it up for 90 seconds, put a couple of those in there. And maybe a day later, if I'm getting a little short, if I've got some leftover spaghetti and meatballs, or if I got some meatloaf, goes in the soup.
Wow. Now, on the mac and cheese, are you just using the noodles, or does the cheese powder, or depending on the brand, cheese, the glop goes into?
No, this is a frozen. It's got the regular cheese in it.
Okay.
Comes in a little container with cellophane over it. You normally put it in, poke holes and put it in the microwave for 2 or 3 minutes.
Gotcha.
And I put that in there, and then I get a little cheesy flavor.
Nice. Okay, cheesy, noodly, ricey, eventually meatloafy soup. Soup can keep changing, I guess, Steve.
It does evolve, yeah. You know, that does kind of sound like a hamburger helper almost there. Mm-hmm. That sounds delicious. But yeah, I mean, that's right. You could do that with meat. Stretching stuff. I think that's kind of the idea of soup anyways, right? So take something and make it last for a little bit longer, and throwing those other ingredients in there is interesting.
Oh, and mentioning noodles and soups reminds me, a kind of a running joke in my house is sometimes my soups turn into stews along the way, especially if noodles are involved. How do you cook with noodles so that they don't just keep absorbing every bit of liquid and you're eating it, your soup, with a fork?
Yeah, and here's rice is another example. You cook it separately, right? You let it absorb all the moisture on its own prior to putting it into the soup, right? And that's, you have to do it this way, right? Because once you add it to the soup, it's going to do exactly what you're saying, mm-hmm. and it's going to start taking all that moisture, right? The good thing is that once all the starches are released and the rice is cooked or the noodles cooked, it'll hold its own, and then it'll also help thicken the soup up as well. So that's another technique as well.
It's Food Friday. We're getting great soup advice with Steve Wenhart from Wisconsin Soup Company. Back to your calls. Erica is with us in Campbellsport. Erica, hi.
Hi. I enjoyed seeing you at the West Bend Farmers Market soup.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, how do you reheat soup the next day? Like, if you make a nice soup, every time I make soup and go to reheat it, it's basically a stew. And I don't know what to do to make it not be that way.
That is a great question. So here's the thing. When you make a soup, it's really important that you cool the soup down immediately. So why we do that way at Wisconsin Soup Company is because once it's cooling down, it's going to lose all of its steam and no moisture is going to be dissipating from it, right? So you're going to lock it all in. So we cool our soups down really, really quickly. And a lot of people at home tend to just leave it on the stove and forget about it for a half an hour,
yeah,
or 45
plan.
Minutes, and it never gets, and all that evaporation's happening. So you have to kind of reconstitute that a little bit, right? So the double boiler method is probably the best way, so you're not scorching the bottom of the pan when you're warming up soup again. That can be a little bit more of a technical challenge sometimes, but that's the best way to do it if you were to ask me.
Thanks a lot for the call, Erica. Shanda is with us in Green Bay. Shanda, hi.
Hi. I have a little bit to add to the conversation, no pun intended. When I make soups, I love to add a pinch of what I would call warm mulling spices sometimes. So some of my soups will get clove, some will get nutmeg, some will get star anise. It all depends on what I'm making. My pea soup has just a pinch of cloves, and it adds the super warm, delicious, very huge depth of flavor. All my cream soups get a pinch of nutmeg, and I think just adding those very interesting, full-flavored spices does a lot for a soup.
I've had a lot of, I think, chicken noodle soups with cloves or chicken matzah soups with cloves in them. So she's not on a weird track there, Steve.
Not at all, no. They're underused, but they're underused because they're so powerful as well. So you have to be careful, right? You want to have
that.
They
can take over.
Yeah, they really can, yeah. And that happens so often. So it's like, that's where you have to find that really nice balance. Sometimes rosemary can do that too. It's like, you know, it can steal the show, right?
Yes.
And you want to keep that in control a little bit.
Yeah, I've made that mistake. Shanda, thanks a lot for the call. Linda joins us now in Milwaukee. Linda, hi.
Hi. I'm back to the old traditional chicken noodle soup. What does your guest say is his best recipe for chicken noodle soup?
I don't know if you have time for a whole recipe, Steve, but a secret for a great chicken noodle soup, at least, or your favorite tip.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, so when we make chicken noodle soup at home, it's the best part is you roast the whole chicken. Mm-hmm. Now, what you're going to end up doing is you're taking off all the good meats that you want to have. The dark meats are great because they're very flavorful. The breast meat can be a touch dry sometimes if it's overcooked. Sometimes they cook at different temperatures. So taking out the meat you want, but then do the hard work. Make a stock out of it, right? Get those onions going. Get that garlic going. Put some of that all in there, some of that celery in there and the carrots. Really make a really flavorful broth. That way the meat and the noodles and, you know, the little bit of parsley you throw on the end there, they're all coming together, right? They're all working together.
Thanks a lot for the call, Linda. And our last few moments, Steve, is there a cutting edge soup that you're experimenting with right now?
I think I gave a little bit too much away early when I said the buffalo chicken.
Well, that's right.
But that's one of them. We also have this this really cool, we're calling it right now, spicy chorizo loco, which is like a glorified taco soup with chorizo. And it's really fun.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
It's got a lot of flavor to it. A
couple spicy soups coming down.
Yeah.
All right.
Change it up a little bit.
Steven, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
I appreciate it, Ralph. Thank you.
That's Steve Wenhart, founder and CEO of Wisconsin Soup Company. Sorry, Steve Soup Wenhart. He joined us for Food Friday to talk about the wide and wonderful world of soup making. You can keep sharing your favorites, by the way, over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org.